The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is it okay to refer to a professing Christian who has never really believed in the free gift of everlasting life as a Christian? What does Christian actually mean in the New Testament? Stay tuned, we will be talking about these things on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're delighted that you joined us today, and we'd like for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you can find out about our national conference coming up next May and about our online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
So what do you have for us today, Mike?
We have a question here from Randy on YouTube. In your videos, why do you call certain non-believers Christians? And I believe this is in reference to your video on Matthew 7, where you basically said, why is Jesus going to tell certain Christians that I never knew you, depart from me?
Okay, right. This is a tricky one for me, and I'm always kind of torn. Sometimes I will say people from within Christendom, and occasionally I will just use the word Christian. The reason I do that is because we have what people often call cultural Christians, or sometimes they'll call them Christmas and Easter Christians, you know, people who just come twice a year. But within the free grace movement, we would often refer to people who are professing Christians as quote-unquote Christians, even though they've never believed in the free gift of everlasting life. And so it's kind of tricky for me, but in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, three times the people here use the expression, in your name. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I point out, it's awful hard to think of a Buddhist or a Hindu saying that they prophesied in Jesus' name, or they cast out demons in Jesus' name, or they did many wonders. These are going to be people from within Christianity. So occasionally I might say these are Christians. Now, the word Christian is never equated with believer in the New Testament. It's always more than that. It's a baptized disciple of Christ who is actively following Christ. So you have Peter saying, if anyone suffers as a Christian, or in Acts 11, I think it's verse 26, the disciples were first called believers in Antioch. Well, they didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians by the unbelievers, and it was probably a derogatory term like little Christ, or followers of Christ, or something like that. And then the only other one is where Agrippa says to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. So I think what Agrippa is saying is, you almost persuade me to be an open follower of Christ. You almost persuade me to openly confess my faith in Christ. I think that the term Christian in the New Testament refers to a believer who is an open follower of Christ, and so that's more than just being born again. But sometimes I will use the term Christian simply to refer to someone from within Christianity.
Just someone who professes to be a Christian, basically.
That, right.
Which is not necessarily a believer, and I guess that's the way you used it in that particular video.
And so that could be confusing for Randy, and I get that, and I'm sorry. But typically, I will say, quote-unquote, Christian or something like that. But I don't think we should use the term Christian when we're referring to believer, because in Christianity today, most everybody is called a Christian.
Yeah, I guess if you want to say what's the meaning of the term Christian in the general populace, it just means anyone who chooses to identify themselves as a Christian. I go to this church, oh, I'm a Christian. Or
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like there's Buddhist, there's Hindu, there's Muslim, there's Jewish, mm-hmm. there's Christian. Mm-hmm. And Christian is one of the options. There's 2.2 or 2.3 billion people on earth today who call themselves Christian.
Yeah, who choose to identify with Christianity and Jesus Christ. But I guess you're also saying that if you were to use the biblical definition of the term Christian, then it would mean a believer who is not just a believer, but a believer who is following Jesus.
And yeah, openly following Jesus. Yeah. So it'd be more than a believer. But a quick funny story. When you go in the military, your dog tags can list your religious preference if you want that. You know, a lot of people would just say Christian, right? And there was someone that was a friend of Ken Yates who was influenced by the writings of Zane Hodges. So on his dog tags, he said he was a Zanite. I think it was Z-A-N-I-T-E,
okay.
A Zanite. You know, it led to interesting conversations because if someone looked at his dog tags, they'd go, what's a Zanite? Well, we don't follow Zane Hodges. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. Which is why I like Christian as a name for us. But since Mormons claim to be Christians, Catholics claim to be Christians, Orthodox claim to be Christians, Church of Christ call themselves Christians, you know, Nazarenes call themselves Christians, Charismatics call themselves Christians, it's not a very helpful term today.
Right. No, I guess in terms of anyone who would say that they're a Christian, that's how you're using the term in these videos, is that anyone chooses to identify that as a Christian. But that's not the same thing as they would answer the question, well, if you were to die today or 5 years from now, you know, in a state of sin, would you still be with Jesus forever in his kingdom?
Right.
A lot of Christians, unfortunately, or people who identify themselves as Christians, do not answer that question. They do not currently believe in Jesus for everlasting life.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
The Kennedy question was, if you were to die today and you stood before God and he said, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? That often leads to people who say, well, I believe in Jesus, so I should get in. But the real issue should be, if I were to die 40 years from now, and I was not walking with Christ, I was an alcoholic, I was a murderer, I was an unrepentant, immoral person living in sin with somebody that's not my wife, what would you say to God if he said, why would I let you in? And the answer would be, because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and my behavior can't take that away. And if a person doesn't grasp that, they don't really get it. So I think it's important that we recognize that there's almost a built-in bias in the Kennedy question toward today rather than forever.
Yeah, by phrasing it, what happens 10 years from now, if you live in a state of sin, it really helps to focus the person on, am I believing Jesus for everlasting life? Or am I believing that, you know, I'm going to still be here at church, I'm going to be in faithful marriage, I'm going to still be walking with the Lord to get me to heaven?
Yeah, in fact, I could give you a quick story. June Blackwell, who's now with the Lord, Bernie Hunsaker's mother, she for years had active evangelistic ministry. She would go in nursing homes and talk to the patients. She would talk to the staff. She had a call-in number for prayer, and she would evangelize people. And I remember one story that I heard from her where she went into a nursing home and was talking to one of the nurses. She went through the fact that Jesus died for us, and he rose from the dead, and his death took care of our sin problem. He removed the sin barrier so that if we believe in him, just by faith in him, we have everlasting life that can never be lost. And she would quote verses like John 3:16 and John 5:24, John 6:47. She said to this woman, are you sure that you have everlasting life just by faith in Jesus? And the woman said, yes. And so she said, let's say that 40 years from now you died and you were away from the Lord, hadn't been to church in years, and you weren't walking with Christ, where would you go? And the woman said, I'd go to hell. And she said, okay, we need to start again. You don't get it. So she went through again and said, look, what Jesus promises is he who believes in me has everlasting life. shall never hunger, shall never thirst, shall never die, shall never perish, shall never be cast out. Are you persuaded of that? And she said, yes. And so let's go back to that question. What happens 40 years from now if you're not walking with the Lord, you're not in fellowship with Him, and you die out of fellowship with God, where would you go? And she goes, wow, I'd go to be with the Lord, because all it takes is believing in Jesus. It doesn't take a lifestyle of fellowship with God. It doesn't take being in fellowship with God. And June was like, right. I think that's a terrific approach. In fact, yeah. I remember Zane Hodges once had a letter campaign back and forth with a pastor. And in the discussion, the pastor was saying, as long as a person believes that they're saved by faith in Christ, that it begins by faith in Christ, then they're born again, even if they think they have to persevere to keep it. And so what Zane Hodges wrote, I remember it's very specifically, what Zane said is, you're saying it's okay to say I'm saved for now. And he had in all caps, for now. And what Jesus is saying is, you must believe that you're saved forever. And he had forever in all caps. And that's the difference. Yeah. A lot of people in Christianity would say, I'm saved for now by faith apart from works.
Yeah.
But in order to keep it, I've got to be faithful. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is, no, once you believe, you're saved forever. You have to believe in Jesus for what he promises, which is salvation that can't be lost, life that can't be lost, a guaranteed home in his kingdom that can't be lost. And once you think it can be lost, well, then you're not believing the truth of John 3:16.
Right. You haven't understood what Jesus is promising there. He's not promising conditional salvation. He's promising unconditional, forever-proof, guaranteed salvation.
Amen. In fact, I remember an article I remember reading from Roy Aldrich, Joe Aldrich's uncle. Roy Aldrich wrote an article in BibSack back in the late 30s or early 40s, and he said, God doesn't give us probation.
Right.
He gives us eternal salvation that can never be lost.
Yeah,
and I always remembered that.
Yeah, I remember Zane brought this out in his 2006 GS conference message. Saved or in a state of grace?
We're not in a state of grace. We're permanent.
Jesus doesn't give you a state of grace. He gives you a salvation that's forever.
Yeah, by the way, we'd highly recommend people check out that video. It's available on our YouTube channel and the Zane Hodges library, too.
Search for Zane Hodges Saved or in a State of Grace and you'll find it.
Well, thanks, everybody. And remember to keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, does Revelation 3:16 teach the possibility of losing salvation? Please join us for that, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.